how does this guy believe in a fallacy? And then I realized something, man. Every human being has this need to find meaning. Otherwise, they'll go insane. So, like, they'll go insane.
That's just such a, like, heavy thing to drop.
But the problem is that, so you have to, if you don't have meaning, then you make a fake one. So you can almost be certain that what your meaning is fake, but it's good enough to keep because it benefits in every other aspect of your life.
But wait a sec, if you're an atheist, let's say...
Then I don't have meaning.
Exactly.
Right? So that's the biggest issue. It's like, how am I able to survive?
But it's not true then, obviously you can.
No, it is true, because I realize what my faith is. Right, so... The one thing that always freaked me out a bit was that even though, like, a strict scientific atheist, I would be infatuated or be interested in, like, you know, these spiritual aspects of religion. And I'd always be looking at it, I was like, why is this interesting? Like, dude, as an atheist, I know more about religion than a lot of religious people do.
Mm.
And it's not just the absolute, the pursuit of the knowledge itself. It's something that gets me going. So I'm like, why, how can these two exist? And then I realized, okay, maybe I am not, maybe religion itself doesn't give me meaning, but I've got something that gives me meaning, which is the idea that we're progressing. Progress is my religion.
Damn.
And then I realized something as well, like, if for some reason I feel that the next few years we're going lower than what we had, right? Let's say if I was one of those coal miner Trump supporters, right? I am a person who's about 50, and I am sure that my life is getting worse off, and my kid's life is going to be worse than mine.
Mm.
If that guy was an atheist, and he did not he found meaning in progress, that would crumble him, and it would crumble me. I don't know how I would be able to get out of it.
I see.
So if I feel that tomorrow is going to be worse off than today, then I will be that madman.
I see. Yeah.
And I don't know how to reconcile with that fact. So the only thing that I can think of at the moment is that if I ever get in that situation, then I'm actually going to have to become a religious person. Well, I have to delegate whatever I'm going through to some fake higher being.
Dude, it happens all the time. Look at prison. Look at atheists, right? Going to prison, and they undergo living through hell, they all become religious.
But the problem is, at this functioning self of mine, when I'm not influenced by that dogma because I'm not in a shit situation, I recognize whatever I do at that point, right? If I'm in prison and I become religious, at this time I can understand how that's bullshit, though. Right? Right now,
I
understand that just because I believe in it is not going to make it real.
Definitely.
So I will be believing in some sort of bullshit fallacy, and if my faculties are working fine at that point, I think I'll have to reject it. Unless I'm going crazy, and which means that I'll kill myself. So I actually can see myself in a particular scenario, like literally shooting myself in the head.
Shit. Well, you know what? It's all about willpower and your strength. It's not about your ideals.
No, but then your strength doesn't matter.
No, no, no.
Because your strength derives from some sort of meaning.
No, I get that. But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, like, to be honest, this is going to be a brutal thing to say. But to be honest, the majority of people, if they had some balls, they almost wouldn't be cared. They wouldn't care to kill themselves because it's like, I'm not. It's not all about me, and that I'm the most important thing in the world. It's like the progress. And it's kind of psychological, it's hopefulness too, but if there is a genuine feeling that the society is screwed, maybe that's something that, like, you know, a lot of people do it in a way that's like...
Wait, are you saying that then it's fine for me to kill myself?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. No, because I agree with that, man.
I mean, that sounds really brutal, and I wouldn't say...
No, but it's true, I agree with
you. If you wholly believe in something, and you think that you look at it in terms of a social aspect... If you're strong and you are, you know, if you really believe in your convictions and you're strong and you're intelligent, then why would someone be able to tell you that it's weak to kill yourself? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not condoning it, obviously. I mean, I would never do it. I mean, I think,
Dude,
like.
actually, just as an interesting side note, a chick in America recently went to jail for exactly what you're saying right now. So she didn't kill her boyfriend or anything, but her boyfriend was suicidal, and she was depressed as well. So basically, her boyfriend would text her saying, "Hey, I'm thinking of killing myself right now, because you know what my life is, and I just can't take it anymore." Because she was going through the same thing, she would just reply, "You know, if that's what you need to do, then I support you in it." And he killed himself, and now she's in
Whoa.
jail. It's like one of the watershed cases
Oh
where,
my
for the first
God.
time, because it sort of messes with freedom of speech as
Jesus, that's
well.
so complicated, isn't
Yeah,
it?
it's extremely complicated, and it's actually like
There's
it's
freedom of
happening
speech,
now.
yeah.
Yeah, there's freedom of speech where like you can potentially say whatever
Far
you want, but
out.
at the same time, it's almost indirect killing.
See, maybe this is a maybe this is an intense thing to say, because I think a lot 99.9% of people, when they think of being suicidal, obviously there should be things they should go against. They shouldn't do it because it's like psychological. It's psychological mixed with, you know, if you have depression, that's a clinical thing and it influences your psychology. And then the lines are really blurred. They're really blurred. It's like it's the most gray area in the world. It's like I'm really sad. I want to kill myself. It's like, well, that's don't do it because you are suffering from this condition. And some people have a proclivity to have to be influenced by that more. But all I'm saying is there's probably a tiny proportion of like philosophers and scientists that are extremely intelligent or have an really understand the world. And if you are in a scenario where like you're not a religious man, and you feel like okay, it's so hard to because again, if you feel hopeless, that's quite intellectual depression. But if you're not if you're really clinical and you're not emotional about it, and you know someone's like, even if they're like the merits of you're not agreeing with what society has gotten, what the merits have gotten. I don't know. Maybe you don't like living in a wooden cabin because I would firstly suggest that. But if someone was going to make a point that like. They didn't, they wanted to kill themselves. It's like, and they were in that position. It's like, so you're gonna get, let's say you're diagnosed by a scientist and a doctor as being mentally, physically at your peak and extremely intelligent and high IQ and successful and like neck level shit. Why should someone stupider than you tell you that you can't do that?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But I mean, obviously, it's extremely complicated. And in your
My
case.
grandfather was like that. He pretty much killed himself for that reason.
He killed
Well,
himself.
he didn't kill him. Well, he pretty much did. So he's like, he's a very interesting character.
And I know all this will be probably taken out, hugely taken out of context. I feel like Gavin McInnes here, where they're going to be like, Gavin McInnes condones suicide. Like, I don't, obviously not. It's just, it's philosophy, really, just to clarify. But yeah.
Yeah. No, dude, I agree. Let's not get into that debate.
Yeah.
But like,
That's more for the
yeah.
audience than
Yeah,
you, because I don't know, some people will be like, Dutch, or, like, you know, it'll be construed.
So like, my grandfather, he died much before I was born. In fact, he died so early that my mom hasn't seen him ever. So
Wow.
basically, he died before my mom and dad got married, and my dad married at age 26 or something.
By the way, I'm automatically picturing him as this like epic man that like rolls the like roams the desert writing in a book. I'm just assuming that, but
Yeah,
yeah.
well, would that be the case? Well, so the thing, he's just one of those grandparents that like nobody knew anything about. Like I had no idea. Like I found out what his name was much later in my life. I would ask my grand. So he's my dad's my dad's dad, and I would ask a lot of people in the family, and they would always avoid this topic.
Yeah.
Like never tell me what he was about.
Yeah.
All I knew was that when my dad was very young, my grandmother
Yeah.
divorced him and left him, and which is ex like that in itself is an extremely interesting thing, because well, living in that part of the world, A, people don't get divorced that easily,
Yeah.
right? And in the 50s, it was unheard of. So there must be something extremely crazy about this guy,
Yeah.
or my grandmother, on the other hand,
Yeah.
to actually say that that she's gonna divorce him.
Yeah.
And I don't know, so that's all I knew, right? So I wanted to find out a bit more about him, and I found out this much. Because I'd always, I found a book in my dad's library, and I would read it, and it had his notes. Mm. And it was actually like a book on Karl Marx, and it just...
God damn it.
it just said that like something to the kin of the prophet of his times. So he was an extremely progressive man for his time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, this guy's worth knowing. Who is this guy?
Absolutely.
So this is what I find out. He came from an extremely poor family.
As was the style at the time.
Like, no, but
everyone was, man.
No, well, like, not my grandma's family was wealthy. They had like her dad had like a printing press. So, but anyway, so
that's so turn of the century.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you make money in 19 whatever? Jewels or own a printing press?
Own a printing and her family had a printing press.
But yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So he also he was like decently educated, I guess, and he went into the government, which was a highly prized job of the time,
because
mm-hmm. this was when British colonialists had... this was in India as well,
yeah.
Where in Agra, where the Taj Mahal is. And so the British were basically the colonialists, and they were the bosses of the region, mm-hmm. except they had like a small bureaucracy of local Indian and Muslim people, mostly men, that were part of the government. So they were like their second tier, and this second tier was extremely influential for the time, because there was that was akin to being an extremely, you know, powerful, like an Alan Dershowitz, sort of a lawyer today.
Okay.
So coming from that poor family, got into that position. Then in 1947, there was a partition that formed the country of Pakistan and India into two separate, and there was massive violence.
Oh, so they were still connected at that point.
My grandma and him.
No. India and Pakistan.
Yeah. So India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh were all one massive country.
Okay.
Ruled by the British, and in 1947, it was divided along ethnic lines, where Muslims got Pakistan, and Bangladesh, which was known as East Pakistan at the time,
because
it was one country. So there was West Pakistan and East Pakistan, and India in the center. So what happened was that there's heaps of refugees going from like Muslims going to Pakistan
and vice versa, yeah.
And like at least a million people died in the whole process. Like, it was insane. It was like our version of a Holocaust.
Jesus.
On both sides. Like, not particularly one. So, like, Muslims were killing Hindus, Hindus were killing Muslims. Anyway, so my grandfather, because he's in the government, so, it's not that he was going through all of this shit, so he had, like, ways to get to the other country. Mm. But what would happen is that because they were from India and now going to Pakistan, like, they didn't have anything over there. But even though they were government people, so what they were given was that there was a lot of Hindus that had left. So they were asked to actually just take over the houses or the property and just start your life here. Like, they would assume that they would do that in India as well. But my grandfather got allotted like a massive piece of land and like a massive house where he could essentially live as a king, but he rejected it. He thought that because it was against his principles. So he essentially lived again. It was weird. He was in the government but a life of poverty where all of the people around him were living like kings.
Wow.
From his own decision.
Wow.
The other weird aspects.
Very noble.
Yeah, yeah. And you know how, like, I'm into palmistry? That's because of him. So apparently...
Oh, palms, yeah.
Yeah, palms, yeah. So I got to know through a lot of people, because I almost did this research project on him, and I found out that he used to read palms, and not only did he read palms, but the legend goes he was fucking fantastic at it. Because even the people that hated him would say that he was quite spot on about that sort of stuff. He was essentially like a genius madman. Like, he was crazy. Everyone also says that he definitely had psychological issues. And what he eventually did was he would always tell his wife that he's going to die soon. Like, that's something that he would always say. Like, you're going to have to take care of the kids yourself. I'm going to die soon.
What the hell? That's a heavy thing to say.
Yeah, and he pretty much did that. So as soon as, because he was crazy, his wife and his kids left him, and he pretty much then decided that, you know what, I'm just not going to get out of this bed. But he didn't get out of his bed.
But what do you mean he was crazy? Because that almost sells him short. If you're saying he's crazy, then it's like, oh, he's crazy. But, like...
No, he was crazy where, like...
Do you think he was, like... Because eccentric is different to crazy.
He wasn't eccentric. He was actually quite reserved, in a sense. But he was... They say that... So my... one of his daughters, who is... who's, like, a psychiatrist now, my auntie, she was telling me that he clearly had, like, a split personality disorder. So... And... So wow. he was exceptionally intelligent, but when it came to like relationship and social skills in general, he was just abhorrent, like just the worst right. possible.
Could have had Asperger's or something too.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows, right? I don't know what he went through, but like he was so weird that he would just like at night he would just take a shit and not go to the bathroom. Like he was yeah, I'm not joking.
I'm liking that.
Yeah. Or like he'll be reading a book and he's so interested that he'll just like take a shit there. And not...
Wait a second, how are you tying this back to what we were saying though? You're like, so long story about the suicide. But that guy was just crazy.
No, this is like exactly, but like
this is not helping my argument at all.
But he pretty much did that. So he decided that he was essentially, because he thought that he was going to die anyways, so he, after like his separation with his wife, he got really, I guess he got depressed, and he sat on his bed and never got up.
Jesus.
So people would feed him initially while he was on the bed, and eventually, because he never got up, he would just sit there and read or write, that he eventually died. And one of my uncles tells me that when I went over to his house, when I found out that he was dead, he had to pick him up from the bed. And like he was saying that his legs were literally attached together for being... So he was like a yogi at the end of
the Oh my God. Yeah. Were they fused? His legs fused
apparently. And like when he tried to separate them, like he kept them back together because there was like just literally fungus and shit growing.
Dude, that is crazy. That just this is really bad, but it just sounds so Pakistani.
Yeah, it is.
I will not leave the bed. I will turn into a tree. Like, but that is, but that is crazy. I mean, there are a lot of. I mean, you know
but,
what?
Yeah, but what happened with him was he lost meaning in life.
Yeah. Definitely. But see, that argument almost makes me want to retract what I said before about some people might justify killing themselves, because it's like that guy obviously had issues, and like it's such a gray area. It's almost just easier to spare those probably 0.2% of the population that might be justified in their intelligence about doing something like that, and like because majoritively it's like not the case. It made me think of Brian Wilson in the Beach Boys, when he went through like he was like a heavy drug addict, and then he went through he had schizophrenia actually, and then he had like manic depression or something, and he was bedridden for like 3 years. He just grew a beard and like never went out of his house. He never went out of his room. He just did drugs in his room and then just stayed in his room. It's a crazy thing. I mean, it's really interesting too though, because I was, just as a side note, I was talking to, I don't know why this, it just made me think of this, but I was talking to my girlfriend and some other mate about heroin and ice, and this guy had done both, and we were talking to him, and it was the first time I've had that perspective, because a different perspective of those things. God, if Jordan listens to this, he's going to be like, they're pro-suicide and want to do ice now. I leave for 1 week. But anyway, I don't want to do ice. But this guy's talked about it, and he described heroin and ice in a way that was like, obviously there's side effects, like you're up for days and blah, blah, blah. But he basically was like, it's a feeling that you can't imagine, and it's the best feeling in the world. And he said, that's why it's so addictive.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. Actually, I've heard the same about ice.
Yeah, ice, apparently... You know what he said about ice? He said, you feel... What did he say? You feel like you're the best in the world. Like, unequivocally the best in the world, and undeniably, like, on top of the world.
Yeah. No, it makes... Well, the reference that I have is one of my good friends, his dad, has tried every drug.
Damn, in Pakistan?
No, in Australia.
What the hell? what a mad dog. Is he in Sydney? I won't ask his name, but is he in Sydney?
You know him, I don't want to take it.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so he started every drug on the book, and I found out that there's this thing that he goes to every year where he doesn't do as many drugs now, maybe like
it's
a
so,
weed.
It's so intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe a bit of weed.
Yeah.
He's just like this sort of just tradie man. But anyways, so he goes to this thing every year, and they do every drug possible.
No.
Literally everything, including
what, at the
heroin.
PCYC?
What? No.
Where?
I don't know where.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
But like, so I was asking him, so what do you reckon? Are you into like acid and mushrooms? Because he's from that hippie generation.
Mm.
But he was saying, no, dude, fuck that. The best drug ever is ice.
Oh, that's what this guy said. That's what this guy said, man.
Yeah.
He said it was so good that when I had it, he said, I think about it every day. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, he's had it like a few times. And he says, I think about it every day. There's not a day I don't think about it. And I think about doing it. Damn.
That's what I say, man. You know how they say,
it's not
try everything once?
You shouldn't try ice. But the thing is, I reckon I'd try it when I'm really old or something. Because I genuinely think life's all about experiences. And variety is the spice of life. And like, yeah, if you're 20 something and get addicted to ice, that's fucked. This lady at work told me that her son is an ice addict. And she told me that her son's friend was so high on ice that he pulled out his own eyeballs.
Oh, so those New South Wales government ads are true?
Yeah. He just went, and pulled his eyeballs out. So it must be some heavy shit, but the thing is,
that's how you know the quality.
But what I'm saying is, obviously, if you're young and addicted, that's terrible, 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 terrible. But again, if you're like old, man, wouldn't you want to experience that? I don't know. I kind of would.
Yeah, maybe when I'm old.
I mean, I don't know. I really, really, honestly, truly don't understand those old like Christian dads from Iowa that are like, I don't smoke reefer and I drink once every for Christmas I have some eggnog. It's like, it's not, forget culture, forget even perceptions. It's a fact that your experiences, your physical experiences of life are incredibly less well versed than like the majority, let's say some stoner in this building. Like, you're missing out on experiences that will be mind altering and eye-opening. You don't have to do acid, even just like shrooms, just something that sort of shapes your perspective differently, like and that's a terrible crime to you and humanity. So I think that like it does.
Not having mushrooms is a terrible crime to you and humanity.
It is. Maybe acid. I don't know.
Absolutely.
When I had shrooms, it expanded my mind. When I had shrooms,
No, it didn't expand your mind. It fucked with your mind.
Okay,
it gave you these chemical signals where you were imagining things that didn't actually exist.
But it was in... Yeah, okay, fine. But it was cool, man.
Yeah, I know that. It was cool. And that's the thing.
Dude, Chomsky's done shrooms. You know he has. But anyway.
No, but like, it was like, I went through this confronting moment. This was when I was in Melbourne, like a couple of months ago, and I went to...
I paid $7 for a coffee, and I was crying into my coffee, and... No, I'm just
I was at a stand-up. I was watching Will Anderson.
Oh, true.
Yeah, anyway, so he was saying that, do you remember the last time that you got drunk? And the problem is, I actually do. It was, like, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, if your answer is no to that, then you lack memories. He was basically saying that drugs and all of this shit, everyone pays them out. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they give you like an interesting life.
100%.
And I realized that I have an absence of that. You know what the worst thing was? This is why I went through a crisis where like I couldn't remember what my last good memories were. Like, I go through like...
At least you can remember what year it is, because yesterday I couldn't remember what year it was.
Well, yes, I can do that much, but I've...
Yeah, well, I had my own crisis, but anyway, yeah.
Wait, is it 1942?
I thought it was 2018.
Mussolini? Why is it still on news?
I have to go back in time and stop the Mexican Revolution. Otherwise, guacamole will never be invented. Yeah, sorry, continue.
So he was basically paying out people who, I don't know, I guess are boring. And I agreed with him, man. I recognize that, like, my life is... He probably had way more fun. He's also an extremely successful comedian and celebrity, so his life will obviously be better.
Well...
But still, like, he made some really good points. Like,
It's true. You need to do that. I agree. And you should probably rectify it, because... I mean... It's funny. Since I've been living in Lithgow... I always used to, like, because I went to school in Newtown, like, a lot of my mates party a lot, and their lifestyle is go out, like, it's literally, like, go out with, like, I don't know, $15, like, you go out $15, and you have the best night of your life. I don't know, I guess it's, well, you kind of have a community of, there's a community of a lot of my mates, I guess, there's a community of there's kids in, like, the inner west or whatever that I know, and, like...
Is it just buying goon bags?
No, it's, like, I don't know, it's a mixture of, like, gigs, goon bags... pubs, food. It revolves mainly around shows more and more now. So it's like, it's just fun time. It's just a fun time and like dinner and whatever. And I guess before I was like, this is, I didn't appreciate it that much. And now working like a steady job, I miss it. Every time I come down to Sydney to play a show, like it's mad. I really love it. And like those times, I just remember thinking back of some crazy memories. Like you said, like, my friend once took acid and went on the roof of a ferry from Circular Quay to Manly and was just stayed on the roof of a ferry, tripping on acid, staring at the sky.
Dude, that's a memory right there.
That is a memory. This same guy, this guy's had a lot of memories. He was at a music festival once. I think it was again on acid. Stole a golf buggy and proceeded to drive like 3 hours north. Ended up coming down... knocking on a stranger's door. The guy was like, don't worry, mate, I'll help you out. And proceeded to help him ditch the buggy and, like, torch it in a forest, then drove him back to the festival. I mean, this is a good example of a person that is, you know, he's obviously not perfect. Far from it, this guy. But, man, he's made some memories. Like, insane memories. And that's fucking important. You have to, like, actively pursue that. Before, I did that a lot when I was younger. My whole life's pretty much been that. And I've kind of been like this with it. I haven't been 100%. I've been at like 70%, 80% maybe my whole life, going pretty hard. And now, making money, not a lot of money, but working and, you know, being an adult, which is great too. I think I've got a good, decent balance. But I miss it a lot. You know, I kind of want to just like eat heaps of MDMA and run down some field or something. You know, it's like, it's important. It's important. And I don't know why it's not emphasized. I don't know why everyone emphasizes all this other crap.
Dude, I understand. Because I brought up this topic. But then I always get confused as well. Man, because like... Okay, there's this other dude now. Will Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy.
Yeah.
He is like a mad ethnic genius. Like, just...
Ethnic?
Yeah, as in like he's Pakistani. Like, he is... He has to be...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right. He's
a
genius.
He has to be like... the most intelligent person I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, so he's like a dude. He's done like everything. He's one of the most successful lawyers without even trying to be a lawyer.
What?
He wrote the Constitution for the country, so he's like Thomas Jefferson at the same time as me. He's also like, he's invented a new instrument of music.
Oh,
like,
my God.
A completely different instrument. Like,
Jesus.
Like string bass, like something that he's just developed.
It's not fair, is it? Those guys.
It's not fair. So he's like, and someone
but life's
asked
not
him,
fair. Life's not fair.
So someone asked him, like, during an interview, I was watching it, and someone asked him, how do you manage to do all of this shit? Like, this isn't even, like, 1/4 of what this guy has done in his life. And he just says, you give up your social life.
See, that is, you know what, man? I'm glad you brought that up. There is this parallel of social life up, productiveness down. And Jordan actually... embodies that perfectly, because He locked himself in his house for 3 years, essentially, only going out to buy flakes with, you know, Cornetto flake, like a fucking ice cream from Macca's with a flake in it, and eat on, like, eat carrots, whatever the fuck he eats,
he genuinely doesn't eat only carrots.
And me and my mates thought he was dead. Like, we didn't know what the hell was going on with him. Like, I understood, to be honest. Part of me was like, I know he's got something cooking up his sleeve. He's always been pretty creative, and, like, I didn't think it would take off the way it did. It's incredible. I knew he was doing something, but... obviously, it was a huge success, and, like, if anything that taught me, like, I look at those mates that were like, it's so weird he's not doing anything. It's like, you still have done nothing.
doing something. Well, going out.
Well, exactly. Well, I mean, like, you haven't created anything and been successful.
Yeah.
But it's a balance, because Jordan.
But you've got to make a decision. If you are trying to strike that balance, then you know you won't be that crazy. Genius who's writing the constitution and making an instrument.
No, but dude, again, a balance, right? Writing the constitution, doing social stuff equals getting laid. Would you rather write the constitution or hook up with a bunch of chicks? I wouldn't think twice.
I guess that's
seriously.
Well, at the moment, obviously, the chicks.
Maybe at the moment, forever.
When I'm 40 years old, I can decide to be asexual and concentrate all my energy.
But see, then you can't create... I mean, personally, my goal is to be... This is one of my priorities, and I'm always going to do... Like, it's so cool that Jordan asked me to do this, and I love it.
Piggybacking on friendship.
Clearly.
Well, both of us.
Both of us. And he's not even here.
I'm glad I have company.
Yeah, yeah. To mooch. Yeah. But, like, I'm being in a band, and I'm trying to be successful in a band. And that's a young man's game. In fact, you know, my next EP, all I have to do is do drums, and I'm going to start to try to get distro or a label to put it out. And it's like... Yeah, dude, I'm not going to be doing that when I'm 40, because it's just lame. I want to, if it doesn't take off to a certain degree by then, if it just doesn't happen, I'm going to make as many good albums as I can and print them all, and then I'll just do, and then I'll be like, I did that, you know, and I'm happy with it, and that's that. And some kid in, I don't know, Wagga one day might pick it up and be like, this is sick, and that's kind of enough for me, because as long as some people know...
Or what if a kid knows?
Well,
what if one kid?
Well, one kid already knows. So, like,
no, besides yourself.
No, like heaps of people. Like,
true.
Yeah.
But like, is that enough though?
No, it's not. I'm over-exaggerating. But I mean, like, what I'm saying is, I can deal with whatever success I if I try my best, really.
Yeah.
Then I can deal with whatever comes. But I'm not going to be doing it when I'm 40. So it's like, I feel like it's a tough one, man. I don't know. It's a really tough one. I would probably say there's only... Jordan's one in a million. Someone that can bunker down, be like, I'm going to make all this material and it's going to be funny, and I'm going to write a comedy, and I'm going to do a satire, and I'm going to do all this research. Like, fine, you can do all that. But for that to be successful to the extent that he is now, that's got to be rare. So,
well, you never know if you're going to be successful. He didn't know that he would. But the thing is,
he kind of did know, though. He kind of did know.
That's the thing. If you applied that much effort, and you're absolutely right, man. During those 3 years, I was probably the only one that would go to his house like a few times. And I know how he used to work, man. Like, it was insane. Like, I can't explain to you the sort of discipline that guy had. He's like, I thought I was disciplined before I met him, but he changed me. He was like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, you're pussy. This guy, so he used to, like, literally, this was his working day. He would, 2 days of research. This was when I did not work with him at all.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally just a dude that he hung out with while he was doing all of this shit. So 2 days of research, then 2 days of writing. And when I mean 2 days, I don't mean 8-hour days. I mean, like, you wake up, you start working, and then you finish working and go to bed. Right?
What?
Yeah, then no, none of those 8-hour days or shit. So 2 days of research, 2 days of writing.
Yeah.
2 days of filming. right? And then the last day, he would actually spend most of the time editing and uploading it. So he basically had no time to himself. Good. That's how he would, like, for years on.
It's how? How? Guy, people, hard work pays off, right?
And that's the thing, because he keeps on saying, and that's what he used to say, because he's also really into self-help, so that helped him.
Oh, fully, and, fully. Yeah,
so, and he would always say that.
Realize your dreams, hi, son.
Yeah, and he was right. Like, if you put in that much effort, and you work on to improve your skills, so not only did he do all of this, the remaining few hours that he would have, he would read up on books of comedy. Right, so he was like, dude, I am literally putting myself all in. I know I'm going to succeed. And at that time, I used to think, man, I hope he does, because it would be so crushing if he doesn't. But now I'm thinking, he was right. If you put in that much effort and you get you obviously get better at it, and once you're good enough, you will succeed, man.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's almost like a thing that you... Yeah, so... Whatever it was, like, he almost knew, he knew that he was going to succeed, and he was right. Like, for that sort of stuff, you will succeed eventually. Most people don't do it because they're either not as hardworking or they're not as consumed about the idea that they're working on. So it's part of their life. This guy made it his life.
That's the thing. That's the thing that he says a lot to me. He's
and
like,
for free. Not getting paid years in for this shit.
Ugh.
Right?
It would break most people.
It would break everyone, and, like, everyone around you paying you out for it.
Yeah.
Right? And just, so I remember paid when
out.
I went to, like...
He was paid out.
Every time.
I know.
Whenever I would hang out with him, with, like, one of your high school people, like, obviously as a joke, they weren't, like, literally paying him out. Like,
still, there's some, but there was still
but
some...
But it was like, oh...
There was still some venom in there.
So he would just be saying, like, so what are you doing? Just making videos, man. I just, like, literally stay at home, work on this shit, and, like, so you're a bum, eh?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he would just say, that's true. Like, just basically get my money from Centrelink. Which is true, again.
It's true, but it's, like... It's almost a philosophical question in itself. I was wondering if there are any books... written on success. I mean, I suppose that's what self-help is, but, like, the science of success and persuasion and that whole thing of, like, the secret, where it's like, the universe will give you what you want if you truly believe it. And it's like, I don't know how much of it is plausible, but it's such an interesting area. Like, it's such an interesting topic. You know, can you truly succeed if you work hard enough? And it's like, yeah.
What's that theory? Which actually Jordan told me of, like, 20,000 hours or 40,000 hours or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so the theory goes that you can be the best at anything if you put in an X number of hours. I think it's like 10,000 hours. So basically this golfer dude who didn't know how to play golf said that he was going to do it. And I think he's...
That man is Tiger Woods.
that man is a lot of time. But, like, so I think he's completed about 80% of his hours, and he's one of the best golf... Like, he's not the best, but, like, he's one of the best out there. And that's the thing. So a lot of people say that, yes, it works. It will make you extremely good at something if you put in that much effort, but being that natural, being that Tiger Woods... requires a bit more than just hard work. It requires something, like, within your DNA, I guess.
But I really like the idea of, like, success through the process and doing through action. Jordan always says this shit to me. I sound like such a... This has turned into, like, Massachusetts 101 from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning. But...
What's better, a hard worker or a talented individual? Soccer references, who's better, Ronaldo or Messi?
No,
one
but
of them is talented, one of them is a hard worker.
Pele is king of the sports field. If you want to be king of your dishes, use Hydro Plus. No, but, like, this theory that the philosophy of the romanticism of, oh, ideas, and I have these amazing ideas, they're in the ether, and I have these great notions and perspectives, and I've pieced them all together, and that doesn't really mean shit. It's literally until you put something down, until you release something, until you make something physical or tangible. Because it just doesn't...
What do you mean physical? Actually, that's something that I've I have a debate with my brother as well, who I don't think you've met him, but he
is it the little one?
No, the older one.
Okay. No, I have met him once.
So he looks, he's exactly like you, Miss Love. So he basically would tell, even before I decided that I was going to do law, he just, like, since I was a kid, he would pay out lawyers. He'd just say that lawyers are the, and not for, like, the reasons you'd expect that they're fucking blood-sucking parasites, but
well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't generalize, but yeah.
Someone who's going into this field, I think that's true. Okay. But anyway, so like, he would say that, but lawyers don't produce anything that's tangible, that's physical. So he would say, I would respect an engineer much more, right? Someone who's constructed, like, a building or something that you can actually physically see. And then I would argue with him that, you know, lawyers do that sort of stuff as well.
They do.
They write laws.
I agree with you. Yeah,
and, like, they write laws, and they're, like, again, something that I fucking hate. Like, you don't... So he's kind of like a libertarian in that sense, where he just hates the idea of someone else telling him what to do.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand
like,
that, too.
And, or anyone. He's like, look, I enjoy the... So I was like, but when you go out on the street, there's, like, a traffic light. You know, something. Someone came up with that. If you didn't have that, you'd be fucking bashing into other people.
Sure.
So he's like, look, I agree with it. And I take... And I'm kind of a hypocrite for saying it. I take advantages of this sort of stuff. But I still feel in an ideal world, nobody gets to tell you what to do. You decide it yourself.
It's not reality, though.
It's not reality, though. So he lives in some
anarchy and freedom. It's like, that's so naive.
Yeah, but I think he feels that once you actually give people like that position,
yeah,
then they'll form into an organic society of their own. It just won't be binded by lawyers telling you what to do. It'll just be whatever works.
It's a possibility. It's way too broad a philosophical question to explore now. But yeah, I agree with both of you. You know, I think...
Fence shitting, eh?
Well, not really. It's just like, I think that, in terms of what I was saying before, essentially all I was saying was, because lawyers are engineers. They just think of law, just because you can't walk over something a lawyer's built, and not everyone can build things, so that's a silly argument. Lawyers are very integral. I mean, law is like the backbone of like morality and philosophy as well. But in terms of what your brother's saying, it's like, all we have to do is amend our society. We don't have to like tear it all down. We just have to be more like, Sweden or whatever the hell, you know?
Okay, like, so from, like, maybe to explain him better, he resents the idea that someone can have the authority. He questions the idea of authority itself.
But you know what I would say? He's giving way too much, what's the word? I can't think of the word now, but almost leeway to the human race. If it was up to the human race, I mean, look at rich people. They just fight and they just fuck and do drugs. It's like, you need authority. If there was no authority, then, like, it's so naive to think that... It's very romantic to say we don't need authority and it's annoying. It's like, yeah, it is annoying. For instance, I got a fine, speeding fine, the other week. It was $265. It was my old street where I lived, like, in the suburbs. And I lost 3 demerit points. Yeah. That really pissed me off, and, like, that sucks. But I don't think we should get rid of speeding fines. I think we should amend them, lower the price. That's insanely expensive. So, like, do you know what I mean? So it's like... It's like...
Hold up. I agree with this theory as long as you reduce the speeding fine.
Well, I mean, we should be... Okay, I don't want to sound like any young millennial, like, annoyed kid or whatever, adult... but I think that, like, we just have to, less of a police state, less of this nanny state shit, generally speaking. You need people, if there's no authority, people, it would be mayhem. It would just be mayhem, and it would be ridiculous. And the divide between rich and poor would go bigger, it'd be screwed.
Yeah.
Our system is not perfect by far, but, you have to just give your finger to authority in your own way, and try to be proactive in changing things, and we should just defund all the bureaucratic bullshit organizations that exist in terms of fines and social stigmas, like noise complaints, and Everyone's just pussies.
Okay, what do you reckon about?
That's what I would say.
This is like a test then.
You're probably gonna trump me,
no,
but
no,
yeah.
No. What do you reckon about the fact that in Australia you have to vote? Like you don't have a choice. Like in America, you've got a choice.
I think it's better in America.
You reckon? That's the thing. That's because that's what my brother says as well. He's saying.
Because idiots vote then.
No, but.
Do you know what I mean? If you have to vote...
Well, actually, it's according to Chomsky, if you don't tell everyone to vote, then idiots vote. So, according to Chomsky...
Really?
One of the reasons why people like Trump or Ted Cruz or just these fringe characters get elected is because you don't have universal voting. So, what that happens is that you can mobilize a fucked-up community within the society to vote.
Sure, yeah.
And so, they become big enough... that they can
get
their representatives.
Okay, so it's like a popularity contest. It's not like every... It's not like... I get it. It's like if you're forced to vote, you're forced to at least momentarily think about who is in power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what he was saying was like if you don't have universal voting in America, then obviously the evangelical community can be mobilized. All
right, you just changed my mind then. You just changed my mind just now.
Yeah, which is why I was telling my brother as well, just to like finish this up, and I was telling him that, you know how you say that this organically society would come up with these rules that will allow you to behave in a constructive way without impeding upon authority. I would tell him that's what we already have, man.
Exactly.
That's the society that we live in. Like
exactly.
We came up with these consensus.
Australia is a bad example because it's just taking the piss in terms of fines and in terms of restrictions and in terms of just bureaucratic levies and crap. But if you just ignore the last 10 years or now 5 years, if you ignore that, I mean, what's that in terms of this history of humanity? It's nothing. So it's like, generally speaking, you're right. It is now. That's us now. That is us now. We have laws that are actually reasonably fair.
Yeah, they just need to be progressive. So even with, like, your tickets, I feel that, like, parking fines and things, I feel that needs to be progressive. It should represent how much income you have. Because the thing is, if I'm a rich dude,
it's
right?
It's not fair.
I don't give a shit.
It's exactly.
I can speed all I want. Because, like, what? That's, like, 5 seconds worth of my work.
You'll just speed all you want. Yeah, and then what? And then what? You lose your license. I'll just get cabs until it renews and I'll do it again. It doesn't incentivize. It punishes the poor.
Yeah, and, like, the homeless dude gets fined because he doesn't have a home.
Insane.
Like, that's crazy. The idea that you need to get Centrelink benefits with, like, a registered address so homeless people aren't able to do that. Like, I thought that's why.
Right there, yeah. You said it perfectly, actually, once. What did you say? Shit, I just had it and I lost it.
Progressive ticketing.
No, it was something else. Oh, you're penalized in society if you're poor.
Yeah,
if you're rich,
are.
You're rewarded. And if you're penalized, if you're poor, you're penalized.
It's very expensive to be poor.
Yeah.
And it's cheap to be rich.
That's what I'm saying.
Because essentially, yeah.
Like, it's not progressive enough, I agree. It's like, you know, like, I'm kind of torn in the middle these days. I swear to God, and I'm not like, I'm a centrist because I'm a little bitch. It's just that, like, I find myself socially, with social things being quite conservative, and then with economic things being quite progressive, and it's, like, and I'm including homelessness in economic thing, not a social thing, but... Like, some of it's just so common sense. I mean, I was thinking, actually, I had this thought the other day. And again, I know the guys, we're going to split this pod into two, so don't worry. You know, this is probably going to be the second part already, but...
Yeah, I think we're going to finish it soon as well, and then divide it into two.
We'll divide it into two, because then we'll divide. So anyway, we'll do one more segment after this, but anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah. I was looking at my bank account, and it's gone up from, like, I was on, like, $0, essentially, and it's gone up. It's, like, it's going into the thousands now, like, you know, yeah.
Rich man.
But see, that's the thing, right? I looked at it, and I was like, damn, I'm ballin'. And then I just had this moment, I was looking at my bank account, and I thought, I was like, think of the propriety of the people in the world that have, like, 20 zeros on top of that. Now think about how much work that the propriety of those people have done to get there versus what I do. A big chunk of them work less hard than me. I'm doing like 13-hour days. I'm busting my ass. I'm on my feet all day. I mean, again, poverty incites poverty. I'm not in a skilled job. So even though you work your ass off, and there's a big problem with this in hospitality, the more you pay, the more you work, the less you're paid in hospitality. That's how it works. Because if you're on a salary, your wage goes significantly down, but you're paid consistently, so you make more money. It's retarded. Anyway, I thought about that, and I was just like, not just to be like, Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm not even necessarily against Wall Street, but it just, I was like, those margins are insane. Some dude can just sit on a board of a company that he might have, let's say he worked there. I don't want to generalize. He probably worked his ass off to get there. But he still got in there, worked his way up. And then let's be honest, a lot of accounting and stuff is just data entry. You just sit there. If you can climb the social ladder, you get to a decent job. There's imaginary numbers, essentially fake information just flowing in front of you all day that you manipulate and shift. And you're making tons of money for sitting in your ass. While there's, you know, coal miners, not in Australia, because they actually get paid all right, even though they have a chance of dying, a much higher chance of dying. Or let's say whatever other profession that's like hard work but low pay.
Dude, like, cleaning toilets, that's fucking annoying.
That's what I mean. And it's like, I understand there are other factors. Social, you have to work for it. But a lot of the time, there is
no,
this...
No, dude, I'm going to interrupt you in here. That shit's changing as well. It's becoming worse. So, like, in our parents' generation, the amount of self-made millionaires was actually quite high. So people who weren't rich would find some sort of an idea, would get into business, and would make money. Those guys are kind of admirable. Now what's happening is, because the money that people are making is just so much more.
Mm.
Like, you know, the top three richest people own half of the world's wealth. So that's the sort of inequality that we're talking about. So what that leads to is that you get a lot of people that are extremely rich, but not because they made themselves, but because their parents were rich. So the number of self-made millionaires and billionaires is decreasing, and the number of trust fund babies, people that are basically sponging off of their parents' wealth, is increasing. Because even like with all the property all over the world, right, it's just gone up insanely. It's not just Australia. It's something. So all of this wealth is being created in these urban centers of the world that are eventually going to be inherited by these kids that will have most of the wealth, and even companies. So like, it's not even those things anymore where like you have to work hard to become a billionaire. The odds are that if you are a billionaire, you probably did not work hard at all, and it's your parents' money.
There you go.
Like, the laws of probability would say that now.
That's what I'm saying. And to support, well, another point just on that, I came to this realization that money, one, you know how when you're us, and people say, money, power corrupts, money corrupts, and then sometimes people, I'm boring myself, some...
Awesome podcast etiquette, some yawn, and like you say, sorry, and then you yawn into the microphone.
Oh man, I need to eat something. Sometimes... you're young and you think power doesn't corrupt, people are just corrupt, and money doesn't corrupt, because if I had it, I wouldn't be corrupt, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I've noticed that now that I'm making money, I'm more conscious of my like, when I was poor, I'd be like, cha-ching, cha-ching, just buy shit, I wouldn't care, and I was fine with it, and I'm still poor, believe me, but now that I have, like, a little bit of money, I don't spend it, and I'm not, like, enjoying it. So I guarantee you that millionaires and billionaires, it's a disease. They need the money. It's not even about the money. It's the idea of success through the incline of money, this is what I am feeling through making shit money. It becomes like this virtual, this is a game, this scenario of the success is the incremental growth, not the value of what you have.
Yeah.
Because even now, me having some money, part of me is just like, shit, should I just travel for a year again? What do I do with it? Well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
What's the purpose of this?
What's the purpose of this? I mean, like, I have this stuff. There's money. Okay, there's things I need money for, which is recording, which does cost money. I do it super cheap. I record at my friend's studio. He charges me $200 for the day, plus the engineer. It's cheap. Usually a studio is $800 a day. He mixes it. I have my overheads for recording music are super low, so it's not something I have to freak out about. But other than that, traveling. And it's like, if I travel, I can't work. So either I have an amazing time and I start again and this is a cycle, or do I get to this point now where it's like, oh, I'm an adult and I have to start making money, but maybe that's what I do. But it's like, but where does it go? What do I need it for? I don't really need to. I don't like buying clothes, really. Apart from, like, I do want a motorbike jacket, but that's about it. Like,
that's for safety reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I genuinely don't think I'm going to buy a new pair of shoes for, like, the next, probably ever. I have, like, a shitload.